The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Did a voodoo warlord put a curse on his most hated enemy? Then we take a look at the KGB and a close encounter of the turned kind. And then we take a look at a man who made it his life mission to not only count, but contact the aliens in our very own solar system. That, by his estimate, numbered around 22 trillion. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you're having a great day too. I lied. I am having a great day. But it's snowing outside. I hate the snow. I hate everything that has the word snow in it. I hate snow cones. Those are quite disgusting. It's just water with gross Kool-Aid spilled on it. I hate snowboarding. I think it's kind of lame. Skiing's better, but I hate that too. I never saw the movie Snowpiercer, but if I saw it, I'd hate it. I hate Supreme Leader Snoke. Anything that has the word snow in it is terrible. Snowballs are pretty dumb. I'd rather throw a rock. And it's snowing outside right now, and I sometimes despise humanity for not being allergic to snow. Snow is nature's dandruff. And people always talk about, oh, snow looks so pretty. Okay, it does when it's hundreds of miles away on a mountain. I guess people don't have eyesight that good. When it's tens of miles away on a mountain, yes, snow is beautiful. But when you have to walk through it, it's terrible. And humanity, I wish we had never settled in areas with snow. The idea that a sentient species could go, this place is cold and inhospitable for 2 months out of the year. Let's live here. I wish everyone just lived in the desert, including me, despite as dangerous it is. You got Mongolian death worms and desert yetis everywhere. Cacti chasing you down the street. The snowmobiles, yeah, I don't like those either. Comparatively, they're okay. But anyways, I like the sound they make. But other than that, and they kind of look cool with the treads, but whatever. I hate snow. I hate it all. Snow was a bad guy in Hunger Games. Nothing good comes out of snow. And snowmen, I know your secret. You're not really a snowman. You're just three balls of snow with some carrots on your face. Usually just one. I hate you, snow. Don't make me slip and fall on my way to work tomorrow. I hope you didn't hear me say I hate you. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with this snowless episode. I'm never going to do a snowspiracy. We're going to move on to our next... our first story has no snow. It's a no-snow zone. This is an interesting one. It's short, but it's still interesting. So a lot of you guys... Let me back up here for a second. So back up, and I haven't even started yet. Back in the 1980s, there was this voodoo priestess in Congo, I think. A place in Africa. I'm still stuck on that Ebola episode. There was a voodoo priestess in Africa. She saw that there was a civil war going on in a place. I don't remember the name of it, but that detail is not important. And she decided to exploit the divisions in this country that I don't remember. So she raised an army, but she didn't have any weapons. So she gave her army sticks, stones, and voodoo dolls. Spoiler alert, they got stomped. But her nephew, also a practicing voodoo, whatever the term is. I know this episode's off to a great start. Also, well, he's a warlord, basically. He's a voodoo practitioner and a warlord. Let's say that. You know him. Everybody knows him. His name is Kony. So, Kony started the Lord's Resistance Army. It was a huge contingent of it was child soldiers that he kidnapped from villages, made the kids kill their parents so they'd have nowhere to go, so they had to stay in the army. It's brutal. He's a brutal, brutal man. He controlled them through fear and violence and voodoo. He's a practitioner of the voodoo religion. I don't know if it's called voodoo over there, but similar practices. I don't know. Similar. I'm okay, listen, guys. I'm just reading articles on this stuff. Anyways, so if someone's like, no, it's not actually called voodoo, it's called this. I apologize. But anyways, so he uses dark magic, we'll say. He uses dark magic and fear and violence and all this stuff to control his army. Now, the reason why we know about Kony was back in 2012, there was that big social movement, Kony 2012. And Jason Russell had a group called Invisible Children. And his goal was to bring about the end of Kony and to free those child soldiers. Admirable goal. Admirable goal. And so they started this huge social movement, and like people were changing their profile picture. It was called slacktivism because people were doing like very little things, but they felt really good about it because they were part of this Kony movement. The video, Invisible Children, I think it was called. The video that Invisible Children produced was one of the most watched videos of that year. It was this huge phenomenon. And it did bring a bunch of attention to Kony. And people who had never heard of the civil strife, never heard of the child soldiers, never heard of any of that, were now aware of it. The eyes of the world were on Kony. Now, how do you strike at a target? Kony didn't have drones. He couldn't really send over a 12-year-old assassin with an AK-47. So how do you strike at an opponent 2,000 miles away? Magic, of course. So, I mean, whether or not voodoo works, I think depends on your own personal beliefs. I'm personally not scared of voodoo. I don't think it would work. I know voodoo wouldn't work on me. I see it as something that is more something that you buy into the superstitions for it to work. But I could be wrong. I've never had anyone cast a voodoo spell on me. Maybe they did. Maybe that's why it's snowing. But what's interesting is you had Jason Russell, and Kony 2012 is blowing up, and everyone's looking at this guy. Everyone's looking for him. And Jason Russell starts to have weird thoughts, we should say. Now, he is under a lot of pressure because he went from being a nobody to being world famous like that. Like, it is very, very hard for a average person to become famous. It's a lot of pressure. It's a super weird attack on the human psyche. I think athletes, it's interesting because athletes start off, they're usually famous at their high school, and then they go to college, and now they're famous nationally to a certain degree, but definitely in their state. And then if they play pro ball, now they're nationally famous, but they have that slow buildup of the fame. Whereas singers and actors and activists and stuff like that, politicians can become famous overnight. And it can really, really mess with you. All of a sudden you feel self-important, stuff like that. But anyways, so Jason Russell is this normal guy who now is world famous. And he's feeling the pressure of it. He's starting to have these weird thoughts. He needs to take a break. Him and his family go on vacation. They go to see the movie The Lorax, the movie about Danny DeVito trying to get people to recycle. And that's a bad description of it. But anyways, which would have made it a better movie. He's at The Lorax and he's watching it. And he said he felt that the movie The Lorax was talking to him. And then he got this nugget in his head. Not literally, but he got this thought in his head, a kernel, again, not literally, in his head, that if he didn't get to New York within 12 hours, Kony would win. And becoming obsessed with this thought, he needs to get to New York in 12 hours. And then the next thing that happened was the famous footage of Jason Russell nude in public, walking down the sidewalk, freaking out. People said that he was masturbating in public. That actually wasn't true. South Park made a big joke about that. That was kind of the meme. He wasn't doing that, but he was like doing jumping jacks and calisthenics and walking back and forth and muttering to himself and things like that. He went mad. He had a nervous breakdown. And the conspiracy theory is that that wasn't just because of the fame. That wasn't just because of the pressure. That was because of a successful voodoo spell that Kony actually cast on Jason Russell. It's an interesting theory, and there's not much to back it up. Really, the best evidence I found was from TMZ, where they're interviewing someone who knew Kony. I think it was a child soldier or someone who had worked in that region. He's like, oh yeah, no, that was totally a voodoo spell. Absolutely. That's exactly what it looks like. He was a voodoo spell got cast on him. That's what it looks like when you're cursed. So, I mean, in the realm that we live in the realm that Dead Rabbit Radio exists in, all the crazy stuff we talk about it, that's not the craziest thing I've ever heard of. It is interesting because after that, Jason Russell became a meme. Kony pretty much disappeared from the spotlight. Invisible Children's still around. It's still trying to free those soldiers, but definitely crippled the movement. definitely cast a long shadow on the Coney 2012, because now you really can't discuss Coney 2012 without discussing Jason Russell's breakdown. He's doing better now. He said that it took him about a week or two to get back and to find himself again. There's actually a great video I'm putting in my YouTube links called The Story. I think it's called The Story of Coney 2012. This internet historian did, and it's a great video. It's a great overview, and it has the interviews from Jason Russell where he talks about that breakdown. Was he cursed by Coney? Was the spell successful? Did Coney use ancient magic to take out an enemy who was using modern technology to stop him? Who knows? But it's definitely an interesting theory, and I wanted to share it with you guys. Next story we're going to look at is an interesting one. Again, it's fairly short, but I think it shows one of the problems that I have with modern UFOlogy. So apparently, there was some KGB documents that the CIA got a hold of. Now, right there, I'm like immediately suspect about this story because it already sounds a little too James Bond-ish for me. But anyways, the CIA gets a copy of these KGB documents. All the articles I found said one of two things. One, President Mikhail Gorbachev, president of the Soviet Union at the time, believed that UFOs existed and more study needed to be done on them. And the UFO sites are like, see, look at this, president of the USSR believes in UFOs. And yes, everyone believes in unidentified flying objects. And yes, we should do more investigating on them to find out if it is a plane or a duck or a balloon. I don't think Gorbachev was saying, when he says UFOs are real, he's not saying aliens are real. And that's a problem I see with a lot of conspiracy sites. He's just saying, yeah, we don't know what they are and we should figure it out. And there's a huge leap there between that and they're coming from another planet. And I do believe in aliens, but, you know, I've talked about that before on the show either. I don't think they come from other planets. I think they're from here. But see, that's the thing. I could quibble all day long with people who believe in crop circles and reptilians and Arcturians and Pleiadians and stuff like that. We can quibble about the details all day long. We're both idiots because we both don't have anything to back any of it up. I have my theories. They have their theories. But Gorbachev said that we should study UFOs, which of course, you have a giant country and you have a bunch of nukes and you're at war with another country. Of course, you want to know what's flying in your sky. But and you're like, that's not the whole story, because that would just be lame. I wouldn't just cover that. I would just waste your time for 3 minutes talking about it. Also in these documents came a story of KGB soldiers facing a UFO. And again, the UFO sites are like, oh my God, it's proof. I'm going to read you this story. And if you've ever done any research on UFOs or aliens or ever watched an episode of The X-Files or got stoned and watched Ancient Aliens, whatever your information is on aliens, you tell me if this story sounds like any other event you've ever heard of. And the reason why I say that, because generally, if aliens are real, if I see a tiger in the woods, and 50 years later, someone else sees a tiger in the woods, we're going to describe the same thing. We're going to be like, yeah, it's like a big cat, it has these stripes. If I see eight penguins carrying a keg, I'm going to be like, oh, this is what they look like. There's eight of them. This is what a penguin looks like. They had a keg. And then a couple years later, you see eight penguins carrying a keg. Or just eight penguins and a keg sitting there. You're going to go, those penguins are awfully long-lived. And then you're going to be able to describe to me the same thing. That's the problem with aliens and UFOs, is like they're constantly being described in different ways. And yet we're supposed to believe all of them. Anyways, I thought, debunk all that stuff aside, I thought this was a funny story. But again, it has nothing to, it's completely bonkers. The fact that any UFO site gives us any credence just diminishes the whole idea. They don't even know when this happened. I'm angry. I've realized how angry this story makes me. Because I had to read about it over and over and over again, and they're like, this is proof. And I don't get, it's so funny because now that I realize, I don't really get angry that much on this show, or at least I don't show it. Anyways, undated event. In an unknown location. Proof. Remember, this is proof. This is being held up as proof. Somewhere in Antarctica. So maybe there are penguins with a keg. These KGB agents, for whatever reason, are in Antarctica. And they start to see these glowing lights. These red, green, and yellow lights in the sky. In one of the articles, it said, for an unknown reason, someone picked up a SAM. So surface-to-air missile. For an unknown reason, someone picked up a surface-to-air missile and fired it. Well, I'll tell you the reason why he fired it. It's not unknown. There's a big object floating around, flashing lights at you. And you're the KGB. You beat up shop owners. It's not like they're like, let's have a reasoned discussion with this orb. They're going to blow it up. They blow up everything. The KGB was like one of the most brutal secret police in world history. And they're like, I wonder why they did it. Because they're nuts. And also they're in Antarctica. There's not a lot to do there. That's why the penguins have the keg. Anyways, so the KGB shoot down this craft of blinking lights and it crashes. And then five aliens with large heads and large black eyes come out. And you're like, Jason, that is familiar. What are you talking about? Those are gray aliens. Everybody has seen those before. I've seen those in movies. Wait, hold on. And let me finish. The five aliens then merge Voltron style into a giant ball. So they go bleep, and like with 1991 Terminator 2 special effects. Bleep. Not even that. 1991 Lawnmower Man special effects. Bleep, and begin spinning around as a giant ball. I have never in 30 years of researching UFO stuff encountered a story where five gray aliens turn into a ball. If this story was real, then all you'd encounter ball aliens constantly. Again, if it's real, it's real. And you would have common things among the sightings. The Roswell aliens weren't just all like their bodies just laying in the desert and then it's like liquid metal and they start like bloop, bloop, bloop and turn. I've never heard that before. This is obviously made up and these websites, multiple websites, were running this story. It doesn't pass the smell test at all. Anyways, it gets stupider. It gets way stupider. So the ball's spinning around now. The alien ball is like, whoa, 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 whoa. It begins to buzz and hiss. I read that description a couple times. How? I'm going to try to do it because I have the audio tools here. I'm going to record myself buzzing and hissing, and then we're going to lay it over each other and see what it sounds like. Okay, that's the buzz. Now we'll do a hiss. Okay, started to run out of breath on that one. So we have a buzz, we have a hiss. I'm going to layer them and we'll see if it makes... Here's my theory, and I could be wrong because I won't know until I edit this. But I'm going to predict that one sound so heavily drowns out the other that you wouldn't be able to tell it was buzzing and hissing. Unless it was like, bzz, hiss, bzz, hiss, bzz, hiss, bzz, hiss. And in that case, it's just Skrillex. Like, in that case, whatever. But anyways, it's buzzing, it's hissing, and it's brilliant white. You're like, ah, I can't see. Even though I'm in Antarctica and everything's white. This hurts their eyes. And again... Because if that's not dumb enough, multiple websites reported the story. The ball alien, the ball of aliens, then goes, bzz. There's 25 soldiers, 25 KGB agents standing here. 23 of them turn in to something. Now, here was the difference I found between the websites. One of them said they turned to limestone. There's just, bzz. And they basically either turned into statues of people made of limestone, perfectly carved, you can see their badges, or they just became like clumps of limestone. Two other websites I saw had a complete... Okay, and when I read that, I was like, I'm talking about this, and that is straight up stupid. I gotta talk about this, but that's stupid. It turns them into limestone. The other two websites said, and I still can't figure out where they got this from, stone poles. Now, when I think of a stone pole, I think of those things outside of like grocery stores and Walmarts to keep you from ramming your car into the store. You know, those big, basic stone pylons. Are they saying that these people became those? Are they saying they became like perfect cylinders of cement? What's a stone pole? Just say stone if they became lumpy. Or stone pole, I guess, if they actually became like a cylinder of stone. And then the two remaining KGB agents covered them with big yellow plastic covers so cars wouldn't know not to crash into them. They just left them there in Antarctica. And the two remaining KGB agents call up the the Russian people and said, hey, I know that you're thousands of miles away and we're in Antarctica, and but apparently our phones work. And the government came and got the limestone / stone poles, and they locked them up in a secret warehouse. The end. Okay. Then what? These are documents from the KGB. So it's not a story that just one of the survivors told. The document, if these are real KGB documents, they should be able to say, day 7. We continued testing on the stone poles. We realized you could drive a Subaru into them and they wouldn't crack. Testing will continue tomorrow. These are KGB files. They'd have access to the whole history of these stone poles. Do these stone poles... Is there a warehouse that you can't drive a forklift in? Because there's a bunch of poles, stone poles, randomly in there? It's made up. It's obviously made up. It's funny because I give far more credence to the idea that Coney cast a voodoo spell on a guy than this. Yet, this story I found across multiple websites... And I had to dig a bit for the Coney story. And like I said, TMZ reported it. And then I think someone else picked it up. Stone poles. Aliens that can merge into a big old object. But, you know, there are people... It's proof. Because this article has the words KGB, CIA, and Gorbachev in it. It's proof. The state of paranormal investigations and conspiracy in the world right now is in dire need of some... rational thinking. And I'm not the one to deliver it because I can barely string two words together. The only reason why any of this makes sense is because I have to edit it. If you stood in front of me and I had to talk about this stuff, you'd be like, why do you keep saying cut right in front of me? But come on, guys. Okay, anyways, that's enough of the KGB story. It's driving me nuts. We're going to talk real quick. Actually, not real quick, because this story is actually quite funny. I have to get my composure, though, and I have to get some more soda. Okay, so I got some more soda, but I do have to say that I don't think I have enough time to record the next segment. And it's funny, because if I edit this down, it might be around a little bit shorter than the normal length. But Thomas Dick, I'll talk about him tomorrow, because it's a trip. But I've run out of time this episode. I like to keep him short, even if sometimes we have to bump stories back. But I hope that doesn't disappoint you. I got a little off on that KGB story. I had it prepared like, oh, here's this wacky event. But as I was revisiting it in my head, I'm like, this is so stupid and people believe this, which is par for the course for this show. But man, it really struck a nerve. But we'll save the other story for tomorrow. deadrabbitradio@gmail.com. You're like, oh, I want to know about those 22 trillion people. Don't worry, we'll get to it. deadrabbitradio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/deadrabbitradio. Twitter is @JasonOCarpenter. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great one.